It is important to know what it is that you believe, so you can live what you believe. And I must state that if you do not believe the Word of God, there won't be a lot for you today. But because it is important to us at Daleville Christian Church that you know what you believe, we state what it is that we believe with an affirmation of faith each time we gather. And today's is from 1 John, the 4th chapter, the 9th and 10th verses. It's always from God's Word. This is how God showed His love among us. He sent His one and only Son into the world that we might live through Him. This is love. Not that we loved God, but that He loved us and sent His Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. The reading of God's Word today is from Luke's Gospel in the 10th chapter, verses 25 through 37, what is commonly referred to as the parable of the Good Samaritan. On one occasion, an expert in the law stood up to test Jesus. "Teacher," he asked, "what must I do to inherit eternal life?" "What is written in the law?" he replied. "How do you read it?" He answered, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength and with all your mind, and love your neighbor as yourself." "You have answered correctly," Jesus replied. "Do this, and you will live." But he wanted to justify himself, so he asked Jesus, "And who is my neighbor?" In reply, Jesus said, "A man was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho when he fell into the hands of robbers. They stripped him of his clothes, beat him, and went away, leaving him half dead. A priest happened to be going down the same road, and when he saw the man, he passed by on the other side. So too a Levite, when he came to the place and saw him, passed by on the other side. But a Samaritan, as he traveled, came where the man was, and when he saw him, he took pity on him. He went to him and bandaged his wounds, pouring on oil and wine. Then he put the man on his own donkey, took him to an inn, and took care of him. The next day he took out 2 silver coins and gave them to the innkeeper. 'Look after him,' he said, 'and when I return, I will reimburse you for any extra expense you may have.' Which of these 3 do you think was a neighbor to the man who fell into the hands of robbers?" The expert in the law replied, "The one who had mercy on him." Jesus told him, "Go and do likewise." May the Lord add His blessing to this reading of His holy word. The story of the Good Samaritan. This is a story that Jesus tells. Because Jesus tells it, I believe it is a perfect story. That means I don't believe that our Lord Jesus is giving us any extraneous information. Do you know why I say that? Because you know what kind of people we are. We're a just get to the point kind of people. But that's a problem. Our problem. What if we focus on the wrong thing? It happens in the Bible all the time. When we read the Bible, we focus on the wrong thing. We read it, we get to the point, we think, there it is, we're done. Take the story of the prodigal son. It's also a story that Jesus tells. The problem is us, because that story is not a story of the prodigal son. It's a story about a father with 2 sons. You see how we think we can get to the point of the story? Besides, the story isn't really about the sons at all, is it? The story is about the father. Because Jesus uses that story to teach about God. Most people reading the Bible would stop the story after the party gets underway for the prodigal son's homecoming. And we would stop there and leave the other son outside the party. But Jesus And God, don't stop the story there at the party for the homecoming son. They speak to the older son. They speak to the older son so we can hear it too. Please don't cut off any part of the story that Jesus tells. So with that in mind, I draw your attention to some details in the story that Jesus tells, beginning with our reference to the story, the Good Samaritan. The word Good Samaritan does not appear in Jesus' story. The word good doesn't even occur in the same chapter 10 of Luke's gospel that the story is in. The little title you have in your Bibles is for your convenience. It's not a part of the Bible text. It does not appear in the Greek texts of the New Testament. So, Good Samaritan is something we tell ourselves. That phrase is not Jesus' phrase. So let's pay attention to what Jesus does tell us. In reply, Jesus said, a man was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho when he was attacked by robbers. They stripped him of his clothes, beat him, and went away, leaving him half dead. And a priest happened to be going down the same road. So does Jesus tell us that the man was traveling from Jerusalem to Jericho just to grab two towns out of the thin air? I don't know, but I want to ask the question. One tradition holds that priests who served in the temple in Jerusalem served in a rotation and therefore did not all live in the city of Jerusalem. Tradition places a number of them in Jericho, and therefore this road from Jericho to Jerusalem connects temple worship with the Jewish priest commuters. And one question unanswered, an additional question unanswered, is whether the priests who were going from Jericho to Jerusalem and back might have had their own donkeys for the journey, or were they on foot? Jesus doesn't tell us. But might Jesus' audience assume that the priest was riding along? But I'm getting a little ahead of the story. The man was stripped and left for dead or half dead, so without clothes on, and without the man being conscious, the Jewish priest can't tell anything about the victim. The priest won't know if he is a Jew or not. The priest won't know if the man were rich or poor. The man cannot speak, he's unconscious, so his manner of speech, which might tell the priest something about the man, either by his language or his accent, and that's not available. The priest has no clue about the man. And the man does not and cannot cry out for help. The man is as if dead. If the man is dead and the priest goes to the body, the priest will be considered ritually unclean and will have to undergo a week-long process of ceremonial purification. And even if the man were alive but died later, there were still other requirements for the priest to fulfill. So Jesus simply states, a priest happened to be going down the same road, and when he saw the man, he passed by on the other side. We could conclude, giving the priest all the best, that the priest is at least fulfilling the law of God. Then Jesus states, so too a Levite, when he came to the place and saw him, passed by on the other side. Levites were not priests, although they might become priests, but they served as attendants to the priests in the temple. We might conclude that the Levite came to the same conclusion as the priest. Indeed, one commentator suggests that it was perhaps the Levite who knew the priest who was on the same road ahead of him, and since the priest didn't help the man, who was he to contradict the Jewish priest who had set a precedent for fulfilling the law? Then, as Jesus tells the story, a Samaritan came along. Now, there's an entire book on Samaritans, but we don't have time to go into that. However, there was bad blood between Samaritans and Jews. For us to understand, we might change the story to say that a cowboy was lying by the side of the road with arrows sticking out of the body and an Indian came along. It doesn't look good for the cowboy, does it? But that is where Jesus' story takes a turn, a big turn. Jesus said, "But a Samaritan, as he traveled, came where the man was, and when he saw him, he took pity on him." This appears to be a key. The first response from this Samaritan when he simply sees the victim is compassion. Pity and compassion, although words with different meanings in our language, are the very same word in the Greek language. Some people in our culture say they don't want pity, but they might take compassion. In Greek, it's the same word. But the most important thing to know about the word in Greek is that it means your gut. And so some translations say that the Samaritan has pity or compassion or had compassion in his inmost feelings. We might even say the Samaritan was deeply moved. Other translations say that the Samaritan felt sorry or had deep feelings or was very sorry or had a heart filled with pity or was moved with compassion, had loving pity on him. The least you can say about this Samaritan is that the Samaritan had feelings for the man's condition who was lying on the side of the road. But you know, it's the same word that Jesus uses in another story that Jesus tells that we call the prodigal son, or as I would say, the so-called story of the prodigal son, story of the father with two sons. And in that story, Jesus says, when the father sees the prodigal returning, he got up and went to his father, but while he was still a long way off, his father saw him and was filled with compassion for him. He ran to his son, threw his arms around him, and kissed him. Same word in Jesus' story about the Samaritan. What the father felt for his own fallen son, this Samaritan felt for this crime victim on the side of the road. Jesus says so. Then Jesus describes the Samaritan's actions. He went to him, bandaged his wounds, pouring on oil and wine. Then he put the man on his own donkey, brought him to an inn, and took care of him. The next day he took out 2 denarii, gave them to the innkeeper. "Look after him," he said, "and when I return, I will reimburse you for any extra expense you may have." The Samaritan didn't just take the man to get help. The Samaritan did everything he could with what he had to help the man. One commentator suggests that dressing the wound and binding it could only mean that the man had deep wounds. So the Samaritan gives wine, which we know would be an antiseptic, oil, which was also considered healing, and cloth for binding. The Samaritan puts the man on his own donkey, took him to an inn, which means that the Samaritan had to go back to town, because inns aren't located in the middle of nowhere. And if the Samaritan went back to Jericho, a Samaritan with a wounded Jew on his donkey would look just like our cowboy and Indian. So imagine a cowboy with 2 arrows in him on an Indian's horse with the Indian leading it into Dodge City, Kansas. What are the Indian's chances of getting out of town alive in the Wild West? But the Samaritan not only takes the man to the inn, the Samaritan stays with him for a day, and Jesus says, the Samaritan took care of him for a full day. Then the Samaritan gives the manager cash to continue to care for him and a promissory note to pay for any further fees. This isn't just a nice gesture. If the man who has nothing goes into debt to the inn, the manager could make him a slave. So we could say that the Samaritan provided protection money in the widest sense of that word. That is Jesus' story. The first response of the Samaritan is compassion, just upon seeing the man on the side of the road. The word compassion appears in the Bible, depending on the version you use, 41 to 68 times. So compassion is in the Bible, and it is often God's compassion. And it's even in the Old Testament, in the King James Version. There are some who, for whom that may come as a surprise. The Old Testament God has compassion for us. Indeed, it's the Old Testament God who sent us Jesus, isn't it? I remember some conversations with my older sister about the Bible, and I would say, well, it's in the Bible. And she would say, well, where? And I would say, such and such a book in the Old Testament. And she would say, oh, well, the Old Testament. Now that she's read the entire Bible, she doesn't say that anymore. She knows where it is and better understands why it is. She sees the entire Bible as a whole. And compassion is both Old Testament and New Testament. And as I mentioned, it's often God's compassion that is written of and spoken of in the Bible. Jesus will condemn the teachers of the law and the Pharisees, saying, woe to you, teachers of the law and Pharisees, you hypocrites, you give a tithe. You give a tenth of even your spices. That is, let alone than your fruit of the field. But you have neglected the more important matters of the law, justice, mercy, and faithfulness. You should have practiced the latter without neglecting the former. Jesus finishes his talk on the Samaritan with the man that questioned Jesus, which is what brought on Jesus' story of the Samaritan. And Jesus finishes with, go and do likewise. Before Jesus told the story, Jesus was asked a question about eternal life. And typically, Jesus did not answer the question, but asks a question. He asked a question in return, what is written in the law? He replied, how do you read? And the man answered, love the Lord your God with all your heart, and with all your soul, with all your strength, with all your mind, and love your neighbor as yourself. And Jesus said in response, you have answered correctly. Do this. And you will live. Love God. Love the neighbor. Do it. Do it. And Jesus tells a story of a man who did do it. The Samaritan loves. He feels compassion. And he acts lovingly toward another human being. And perhaps that's a better title than the one we give it, the Good Samaritan. How about the compassionate Samaritan? Or the loving Samaritan? I would point out again that the Samaritan doesn't know anything about the victim. He doesn't know if the wounded man is worthy of love. He doesn't know if the wounded man can repay the Samaritan's kindness. Jesus says, go and do likewise. Love is doing. But the Samaritan can be deeply moved simply by the man's condition in which the Samaritan finds him. The apostle wrote to the church in Colossae, therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, patience. To the church in Ephesus, the apostle writes, be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as in Christ God forgave you. Love for God, love for neighbor, is itself the life of the heavenly kingdom, already begun on earth. Let me put it another way. You are not waiting for heaven. You've already started your participation in heaven. I mean, you're already a member of heaven, right? Because of Jesus. So we might conduct ourselves not based on our earthly home, but on our heavenly home. There was a popular Christian song years ago, and I've referenced it before, but the songwriter was suggesting that our heavenly home will be built out of our earthly conduct on earth. And when one man dies, he goes to heaven, but he is led to his heavenly home, and it's a shack. That's in heaven, but it is a shack. And he asks the Lord, why? And the Lord says, well, that's all the lumber you sent. Jesus' final words in the scripture lesson are, go and do likewise. When we love God and our neighbor, when we love and demonstrate that love, we are merely imitating the Heavenly Father. The apostle would write to the church in Corinth, "Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of compassion and the God of all comfort." Let me finish by saying, followers of Jesus are called to be compassionate. Followers of Jesus are called to love. Not just anyone is going to show compassion. Not just anyone is called to show compassion just because Jesus said so. Only the followers of Jesus will be sure to demonstrate compassion. Only the followers of Jesus will want to demonstrate compassion. And why? Because we have experienced compassion from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, from God the Father. Amen.